Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that first verse that I read that was not on your page, verse 16, really touched on something that each of us wants to experience in life. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Now my assumption, I know what happens when you assume, but my assumption is that none of you walked in here today hoping to lose heart. Show of hands, anyone who walked in, that was your goal? None of you walked in thinking to yourself, you know, wow, you know, if we do this just right, we could sing some songs, we could do some prayers, pastor might say some things, and if I'm really lucky and I play my cards just right, I might walk out categorically depressed. I have a hunch none of you thought that walking in here today. At least I hope you didn't. Of course not. Everyone, whether it is someone who is here today or someone who is outside of this room or this building, wants to be filled up. Right? There's that classic hymn, "Fill us up, Lord, fill us up." Making what? I know where the flowers are. Distracted me, Mary. I was on a roll. But I can keep doing this if it would make you feel better. We all want to be filled up. We want to be renewed or restored. We want to find life in life. But sometimes it is hard to feel renewed. Sometimes things go wrong. Maybe they go wrong with work. They go wrong with family. With friends. With the Mariners. We won't talk about that today. But they do. Sometimes things go wrong. It becomes very hard to see God in the midst of all of that. Or maybe it's nothing big that went wrong. Maybe it's nothing large, one momentous event. But it's the daily stuff. The little day-by-day stuff. The stuff that kind of eats away at you. The little responsibilities. The little errands. The little chores. The little hang-ups. The little annoyances. The little things that just kind of chip away at us each day. Do you get that sort of thing in your life? I get that. Yeah. Just that kind of day by day chipping and chipping and chipping away. Or maybe I shouldn't say chipping and chipping away because that makes us think of like a sculpture or something, and that's art and that's beautiful. We like that. So maybe I should talk about like a wave eroding the shore because that's how it feels sometimes. The little stuff that eats up our time, pardon me, or our energy or our focus. The little stuff that we tell ourselves is important even when we know it's not. The little distractions. Little things that distract us from the promise of Christ. Because it is the promise of Christ that Paul is writing about today. It's the gospel of Christ that Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about. That is where Paul finds renewal. That is where he tells us we can find it for ourselves. Listen again to that verse, and I'm sorry that it's not right in front of you, but listen again to verse 16. So we do not lose hope. So we do not lose hope. Or in some translations, therefore we do not lose hope. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Any math teachers out there? I know of one. Sir, if someone says therefore in a mathematical proof, what are they saying?
All the things, all the reasons before it. The therefore is talking about all the reasons before it and saying, now I know that I'm right.
Exactly. If you couldn't hear that over here, basically it's the idea that, hey, I have laid out the foundation. I have given you the point-by-point evidence. And therefore, here's the conclusion. And verse 16 began with, therefore. Therefore, we do not lose hope. A few weeks ago when I had jury duty, it was an objection the defense kept throwing out. Objection, foundation. Which is the defense's way of saying, hey, you haven't made your point. You can't bring that up yet. You haven't shown why you can make that. You can't give me a therefore yet. But Paul today, therefore, we do not lose hope. And the reason he says therefore is because everything that he's been talking about before that sentence, before talking about this daily renewal for his audience, he has been laying out for the church in Corinth his experience as a traveling apostle of Christ. Because remember, that's who Paul is, or who he was. This is a man who was traveling all around the Mediterranean, setting up churches, meeting with people, not staying there too long, maybe sometimes a year or so, but not that long in the greater scheme, building ministries and moving on. And in the time that he has done that, he has witnessed the spreading of the gospel, the story of God's love and reconciliation, reconciliation between God and people and their neighbors. And Paul tells the people of Corinth that just as God has kept him filled despite the difficulty of his task, so God will renew them. It hasn't all been fun for him as he's been traveling around the Mediterranean. He's experienced affliction. He's experienced confusion and persecution. He's been struck down, literally and figuratively. And yet, in the midst of that, he has also been witnessing the growth of the church, which today in 2016, we look back at through these lenses of inevitability. Well, of course the church grew. Of course it grew. Why wouldn't it grow? Well, think about the insanity of where Paul finds himself. As a member of a small, oppressed minority religion in the Roman Empire, there's no rational reason to expect it to grow. He has every reason to think this isn't going to work out, and yet he knows it will because he has seen it. He has seen that day-by-day growth of the early church in the face of that persecution, in the face of that affliction, in the face of that doubt. And so he says again that he will be renewed in Christ. Just as God has kept him filled in the midst of his work, so God will keep the people of the church in Corinth filled and will renew them. Remember that first bit again. So we do not lose hope. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Well, why should this message in any way, shape, or form renew us? Because we're not the church in Corinth. We're not living 2,000 years ago. So it would be fair to ask, why would this renew us? Why would it help us find purpose or hope? And the answer I would give you is because the good news of Christ is not bound to a specific time or a specific place. The good news of Christ was not a one-time thing 2,000 years ago in the backwaters of the Middle East. The good news of Christ is for everyone everywhere. And the good news of Christ is not be good and God will like you. It's not follow Jesus and go to heaven. The story of the gospel, the renewing story of the gospel, is that God already loves you. That life beyond all understanding is already yours for the living. And it is all of that despite these failed and faulty, mouth-stumbling, fleshy pots that we live in. These clay jars that he talks about. Those clay pots that he talks about are us. Clay pots made from the dirt of creation and yet breakable and fallible. But God can use those faults. And God can use us for a greater purpose and a more meaningful daily life. And when you think about it, that truly is something to be renewed by each day. The message that our human frailty is a vessel for something bigger, for something more lasting, something capable of changing the world. As Paul watched, as it changed the world. But it starts much simpler, just by changing us. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O good and gracious God, for the life and love that you have given us. We ask you to continue to help us to find renewal in you, to look to you for purpose and direction, to recognize the ways in which we may share your love with the world. We pray this, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.